give a warm welcome for our presenter, Aisha Clinton.
And I would like to welcome all of you to the session. What we're going to be talking about is a simple way to strengthen the immune system in the face of infection. And before I go into it, I want to point out to you that you can strengthen your immune system whenever you want. You don't have to be getting sick or thinking you're getting sick, or your client doesn't have to come in with some lovely respiratory infection for you to use this. I tend to check it about once a week because I'm a person who travels a lot and I fly in planes a lot. And I don't know whether you realize this or not, but the air in planes is never cleaned. And once I figured out that I was getting sick from plane air, I started doing this on a weekly basis. So it's a good thing to have. And the other thing is, you don't need to take antibiotics. You don't need to take other drugs if you can keep your immune system strong, because it will protect you. That's what it's there to do. So I will first be talking about the theory that underlies this and giving you a little bit of information, very rudimentary information about your immune system. And then after that, I'm going to demonstrate the protocol I've brought for you, which I think is being handed out now. And so if any of you have a minor infection sitting here today, you might want to volunteer because we can probably take it away. And if...
I got sick on the phone.
Right. So did I. So if you hear... Yeah. So that if you hear my voice is a little froggy, you know why. I did treat myself when I woke up this morning, so by this evening I should be fine. Okay. So first a disclaimer. The function of this presentation and the material within it is educational. It is not intended to replace medical care, nor does it consist of medical treatment. Its purpose is to teach therapists how to utilize AIT, a body-centered psychodynamic transpersonal energy therapy, to strengthen the immune system by treating it energetically. AIT is not an alternative to medical treatment. Rather, it is a complementary modality that enhances it. And just to add to that, we've been finding that AIT works very well both with conventional medicine and with alternative medicine. So that's been a wonderful discovery the last few years. But let me take you back to where this began. I go to Guatemala every year. We have two humanitarian aid projects there. It's the thing I love most to do. And so I sort of live my months until every November when I fly south, sort of waiting for that to happen. And some 10 years ago now, I received an email from one of our AIT practitioners in Guatemala, and this is what she said. I've been to the doctor, and they say I have a precancerous condition in my cervix, and they want to do a hysterectomy. Help. So I wrote back, and I said, I am developing this new aspect of AIT, which ended up being called multi-causal body treatment. And I would love to have the opportunity to try it with you. Is that okay? And she wrote back, absolutely, that's what I'm asking for. And I usually teach two seminars while I'm in Guatemala, and I teach them on two consecutive weekends, and there is a four-day block of time between them when I'm free to be in the most beautiful country I know. So the photograph you see is a photograph I took of two of the three volcanoes on Lake Atitlan in southern Guatemala. usually between seminars, I go down to Lake Atitlan. You can see why. There's just no place that has the energy of deep peace as fully and as bountifully as that place. And so I've been there 17 times now because I've been teaching 17 years in Guatemala. My friend who wanted me to work on her cervix came down with me. One of my nieces came with me, and one of the other AIT teachers came with me. And we ended up, three of the four of us, at the lake, and we decided that I would do the work with my colleague right there. By the time I got to my bed the evening before we were going to begin, my sinuses were hurting. The back drip was pretty thick. Most of you have had a sinus infection, I'm sure, in our polluted America. So you know what I felt like. I didn't have a thermometer, but I'd say I was about 101. And you know how awful I felt. I thought, I'm not going to be able to treat her. She can't afford to fly to the United States. We have no more time in Guatemala for what is going to be an extensive treatment. What am I going to do? So I did what I do. I meditated. And I sat and I asked, please show me how to cure my sinus infection so that I can work with my colleague. And all of a sudden, as happens in my case, the words started coming out. And as I always do when that happens, I opened my computer, closed my eyes, and let my hands write down what the words were saying. That's my process. Very simple. I did what I was told. I went to sleep. I woke up the next morning perfectly healthy. We took 3 days to clear my colleague. We did 8 hours of AIT in the process developing the protocol or another version of the protocol you're going to learn today. And the best part of the story, of course, is when we were finished, oh, I forgot a piece of it. We filmed her entire treatment. Okay. And it was later edited down to either 3 or 4 hours. And one of these days soon, we're going to put it out so that people can buy it. Because it's amazing to see her get well. And the best part is it's now 10 or 15 years later. I don't remember quite how many. And she's still well. Her cervix is still well. Her uterus is still well. So what we're doing today is about how working with the psyche and the spirit can heal the body. We're talking not just about mind-body medicine. We're talking about body, psyche, spirit medicine. And depending on how things work out, when we demonstrate the protocol, we may see pieces of all three. You never know before you demonstrate. So what we're going to work on today came in this beautiful place in Guatemala, and I will be eternally thankful because I'm sure that the lake helped. And the most important part is you can energetically do what I learned to do that weekend. All you have to do is understand what's behind it, which I'm about to explain, and follow the instructions. So the basic theoretical AIT assumption is that the primary cause of all human suffering is trauma. It might be environmental trauma, physical trauma, psychological trauma, and or spiritual trauma. And the trauma might be cataclysmic, like what happened around New York City after 9/11 and during 9/11. We tend to think of trauma as cataclysmic. What we know in AIT is that small things can be traumas as well. For example, I was telling a colleague this morning, because we were talking about the importance of small traumas. I was telling her how a friend let's see, this is about 25 years ago. A friend with whom I'd been friends for at least 10 or 15 years had lunch with me one day and suddenly said, "By the way, I don't feel like our being friends anymore." Now, that's not a cataclysm. She wasn't my bosom buddy. She was just a friend. But it traumatized me. And it would, in fact, traumatize most people because we tend to look at the people we're friends with as people we can rely on to a certain degree, as people who are there for us. So when she said that, there was this feeling of breathlessness. And that was before I understood much about trauma, but in retrospect, I realize it was the shock of a small trauma hitting my body, hitting my psyche, and hitting my spirit. So if you stop and think for a moment, each one of you will realize you've suffered many, many small traumas. Some of them basically unconnected from the major stuff you've probably worked on all your lives, and some connected to that major stuff. But the point is, we all have that. And in the case of this particular trauma with my friend saying goodbye, what it left me with was a certain sadness. So when you think about the small traumas in your life, you'll probably realize that a whole bunch of them left you with a certain sadness. Another bunch left you scared, because we all have small frights. And other traumas left you angry, and so on and so forth. So a lot of the traumatic baggage that we carry in our bodies, in our psyches, and in our spirits has to do with emotion that builds up from small traumas, not just from large ones, and that we hold in ourselves until we figure out how to treat it. Because we recognize the importance of treating small trauma as well as large trauma, we have an expanded definition of trauma compared to some of the others. Here it is. Trauma is the primary cause of human suffering. It is any occurrence which, when we think back to it or when it's triggered by some present event, evokes difficult emotions and or physical symptoms or sensations, gives rise to negative beliefs, desires, fantasies, compulsions, obsessions, addictions, or dissociation, blocks the development of human qualities and spiritual connection, and fractures human wholeness. So the small trauma may just be a small trauma, but when you add it to the hundreds and hundreds of other small traumas, it can fracture human wholeness. And all of you who are therapists, what your job is to put Osiris back together again, isn't it? To end that fracturing of human wholeness, to help the client reconstitute that basic wholeness, that basic integrity, that basic beauty. In addition to that, we also have basic assumptions about immunity and disease, which are relevant to what we're talking about today. The first one is that illness is a multi-causal phenomenon. For example, let's go back to me on the plane last night. Okay. Was my stress level absolutely normal, knowing I would have to present twice this weekend? You know it wasn't. Would it have been exactly the same if I were coming to Disneyland to go play? I doubt it. So one of the causes of this little throat that I've got today is undoubtedly heightened stress. Not gigantic heightened stress, because I've done this so many years, I'm sort of used to it, but enough stress so that it made a difference. Okay. Second stressor, the handouts that you've just received. How many of you received handouts? Okay, so you're going to have to pass them around so that you can share your handout with a second person. And if you've got an extra, pass them forward, because it looks to me like there are people in front who don't have any at all. So if we can make more copies. Oh, they're being made. Okay. Okay. So stressor number two. And of course, I knew by 9 o'clock this morning that they hadn't arrived from the local printer we'd set everything up with. And this is more stress for me. And last night, the stress was wondering if they'd make it here on time. Okay. So I didn't come into the plane stress-free. So there's two causes right there. The third cause is the fact that there is no process for cleaning plane air, and that all the viruses, bacteria, fungi, and possibly some parasites are sitting in the air we breathe. Now, because I'm aware of that, I choose to be the weird one, and I wear a mask over my nose and mouth when I fly. It wasn't good enough yesterday. Okay. So, and we could say perhaps, although my husband would take real issue with this, that maybe I'm a little more vulnerable to disease at this age than I was 30 years ago. I happen to think that's true. But he thinks everyone can be 20 his whole life, their whole life. Okay, so I'm talking about environmental causes. I'm talking about physical causes. I'm talking about psychological causes, and then we come to spiritual causes. Was I experiencing a spiritual cause that made that infection begin to start? And I would say in this case I wasn't, but it could just as well have been that I was, because these things come up in us as we develop and as we continue along the path of development we've each taken. And I doubt there's a single person in this room that hasn't experienced spiritual stress of some kind. So I was ripe for the taking. I want to say one more thing about spiritual causes, and that is that the major cause I seem to find client to client to client that comes from the spirit is a detachment from one's center or life mission. And when I say center, I'm using a term we use in AIT to describe that part of every human being that is divine. That part that if we allow it to direct our behavior and direct our lives, brings us the most fruitful behavior and the most fruitful life. Okay? So there's a lot of causes of spiritual stress in every single life. Each of these types of stress is at least small trauma. And if you have enough causes operating at the same time, you're ripe to catch something. So how can the immune system be strengthened so that we're less vulnerable? To be less vulnerable, we need to be strengthened physically, psychologically, spiritually, and energetically. Because as most people know who are at this conference, energy is an incredible way of working that doesn't require physical anything, but that can get us healthy, more spiritually developed, and psychologically much cleaner from trauma. So how do you do that physically? You do it by eating foods and taking supplements, for example, that strengthen the body. So, of course, this morning I took 6 grams of vitamin C, and I took some B6 as well, because I've been in my body long enough to know what it needs when it becomes depleted. Also, treating physical trauma helps the body get stronger and fight disease better. Psychologically, treating the psychological issues that have been weakening the psyche or some part of it, for example. If someone is depressed, they may not want to get better, or they may believe, because the depression is speaking for them, that they can't get better. So it's always important to treat the psychological precursors of an illness. Spiritually, filling the body with light and with love from the center is the best cure I know. This is nature's most powerful healing agent. To do this, we treat and remove the blocks that prevent ego-center connection in the client. And in clients where the ego and the center are already connected, it's a matter of removing blocks from the further development of that connection into dissolving together. And that's a very high and beautiful state of development that can prevent illness that's spiritually caused. The question was, what I mean by ego connection, and it's important, and I'm going to take a moment to answer you now. We, because we come out of Western tradition and we come out of Freud, no matter how far we've run away from him, we think of the ego as the governing part of the psyche. The ego decides what to do and carries it out. And when there's ego damage, those functions become compromised in various ways. But Freud is not the only grandpa we have. Jung is the other one. And Jung said that not only did the ego do these things for the conscious psyche, but that there was another center which he called the self, which did that for the entire being. And the problem between ego and self was very simply disconnection from each other. When I started trying to develop a nomenclature for use in AIT, I looked up the word self, and I realized that there were at least 8 different psychological modalities that use self in a different way. And I thought, it makes no sense to add another one to that, so I renamed that portion the center. When ego and center are connected, and to the degree to which the ego has surrendered to the greater wisdom of the center, then you have a person who really, really can live life in the fullest way possible for that human being. When the ego is left to its own devices, and here think Western culture, where the ego has basically been left to its own devices, when that happens, there is no connection. If you clear the traumas that caused that division, what happens is that the ego quite naturally starts to have some kind of contact with the center. And that is a kind of path in and of itself, because the more the ego and center are connected, the more deeply they are connected, and ultimately, the more they get to the point where they are one, where the ego dissolves into the center. That's when you have a highly functioning human being who can probably achieve more than most other people, except by the brute force of somebody else's ego. Okay. Did that explain? Good. You're welcome. So, the energetic level of all of this is that we can determine what needs to be strengthened and or transformed. And we can discover and energetically treat the underlying traumatic causes, even of immune system weakness, lack of full capacity, or dysfunction, with 2 of AIT's major treatment methods, reversal treatment and 3-step transformation. And as you'll find as I go further, 3-step transformation is the Lamborghini. It really is. So let me explain it very briefly. Someone comes in and they have an issue They have a physical problem. They have a spiritual blockage. It doesn't matter what it is. And what we do in AIT is ask first what the originating trauma is that caused that thing that's in the present. And we discover and we treat that originating trauma. For example, a woman comes in, and this happens all too often in my practice, maybe in yours too, and her husband just left her, and she's there with the kids. And she's been abandoned. The kids have been abandoned. She's heartbroken. There's all sorts of reasons that this happened, of course, both on his side and on her side. But it's one very big, horrible familial trauma. So a woman comes in and tells me this all too frequent story. And I say, have you ever been abandoned before? What's the first time in your life that that happened to you? And she says to me, oh, that's easy. When I was 3, my dad left, and my mom was left to bring me up as a single mom, and so on and so forth. So I say, okay, let's treat the originating trauma. And we treat a phrase like, when I was 3, my dad left us, and it was only me and mom after that. And we treat it to a 0, just like you would in most of the tapping modalities, except we use the chakras. And that's step 1 of 3-step transformation. Then we come to step 2, because this woman is really hurting. She has just been abandoned by her husband. And we say, okay, what's a good phrase we can use to deal with the initiating trauma? And we call it the initiating trauma because it's what initiates the work. We treat that until it's a 0. And that's usually where things stop, except if you use 3-step transformation. And the 3rd step is the fact that most serious traumas are repetitive traumas in the sense that they happen over and over again in a person's life. So stop for a moment and think, for example, how many times you've had an abandonment trauma or a betrayal trauma or a rejection trauma. And I'm just picking those 3 out of a hat. It obviously could be anything thematic. Can you see that you've had a bunch of whichever you've chosen? Yeah. Okay. So the idea of treating the connection between the originating trauma and the initiating trauma is that if you treat it to a 0, it stops repeating. This saves your client a lot of suffering, and you don't have to do the work as their therapist to treat yet another abandonment trauma or another rejection trauma or whatever kind it is. Because that's a done deal. You've broken the connection between what started the pattern and the present. So we find it very helpful. And parenthetically, you will still have enough work because when people hear what you've been able to do, they keep coming. I have had an unending waiting list ever since AIT began. And most of our practitioners have the same experience. So, let's look at the immune system diagnosis assumptions that we're going to use today. First, that trauma is the cause of suffering. Particular physical, spiritual, and/or psychological traumas can cause particular problems in the immune system's functioning. Second, interconnectedness. Since body, psyche, and spirit are totally intertwined, the issues or symptoms that we find in one of these aspects of the human being are often thematically similar to or the same as the issues and symptoms that we find in the other 2 aspects. In other words, they are metaphors of each other. And 3, 3-step energetic treatment if we discover and energetically treat with three-step, the traumas will no longer affect the immune system or the rest of the person, and this will make it and them stronger and healthier. And no more repetitions. Okay, so those aren't the usual assumptions that you find, but if I can cure the common cold with it, who cares? So, what is immunity? Immunity is the ability of an organism to resist, and note resist is in bold, a particular infection or toxin by the action of specific antibodies or sensitized white blood cells. So if the bottom line infection issue is resistance, what psychological and spiritual issues could you expect to be connected with the immune system's functioning? Just think about it for a sec. Could it be that protection is connected? That would be the big one, wouldn't it? And as you'll see in a few minutes when we look at the protocol, there are other issues that are also connected. So the first thing I'm wanting to teach you is that if you look at the function of any body part, you will probably know fairly quickly what its psychological meaning is. What is it supposed to do? The immune system is supposed to protect us from disease. So we know that protection is a big deal there, and we know that resisting something that wants to take over, like a bacterium, for example, is a big deal. So I want to talk a little bit about the immune system and infection. And those of you who have a lot of training in physiology, in medicine, in anatomy, you're going to think this is awful because instead of going into all the detail about the immune system, and there's a great deal to know, I'm going to simply use the simplest, most common things that are parts of the immune system that if we strengthen them can restore health, at least with infections. We've got in AIT 4 or 5 versions of this method for different types of disease. For instance, we have a very long version of this for cancer because it's needed. And we have another version for autoimmune diseases and so on and so forth. So what I'm showing you is the least necessary for you to treat a common infection. That's it. And the reason for that is I'm not a doctor either. I may be a PhD, but I'm not an MD. And I wouldn't presume to know enough about immunology to work with very, very detailed aspects of the immune system. But the other thing I can assure you is that what I'm going to show you now is enough for you to work on common infections. So there are 3 kinds of immunity. The first kind is called innate immunity, and that's built in. It includes not being vulnerable to some microbes. For example, I've had cats all my life, and I've never caught feline leukemia from any cat. That's because my body is innately immune to feline leukemia. Okay? And innate immunity also includes body parts that protect us. For example, the skin, the mucous membranes, the little cilia that are tiny little hairs in your nose, in your bronchi and in your lungs that actually move microbes up and out of your lungs and out of your bronchial tubes. The gastrointestinal tract is part of your innate immunity because it moves a lot of stuff out of you that is potentially a cause of illness. So all of these are parts of your protection. Then we have adaptive immunity. This develops through our lives through exposure to microbes. So it's called adaptability. And it's the lymphocytes, which are a kind of white blood cell that remember previous invaders. So there, single-celled parts of us actually have memory. And they can remember, for example, the streptococcus that you had when there was a strep throat when you were 12 years old. And you're now, let's say we're in our 30s. So we're now in our 30s, And the immune system is fully mobilized when some strep comes into the system. Okay? And third, there's passive immunity. This is borrowed. It lasts a short time, like the mother's milk protects illness for a short time. And then, those of you who've been moms or dads, you notice that your child is starting to get sick more because the passive immunity has sort of worn out and they're being exposed to jillions of other kids in preschool or in grade school. So we build up immunity over time through exposure, recognition, development, and learning. To energetically strengthen the immune system to treat ordinary infections like the common cold, which is viral, or sinus infections, which are usually but not always bacterial, you need to know a little bit about the immune system. If you want to treat much more serious and complex infections, you're going to need a much more detailed knowledge of the immune system than you're about to get here. But I will tell you one secret. The entire knowledge about the immune system till today is on the net. You can Google anything. It's so amazing. And when I'm not sure about something, because at my age, 32, sometimes I will forget things or I'm not sure that I remember. It is so wonderful to have my computer right next to me, even in a session, and I can find out exactly what I forgot or maybe didn't know in the first place. So if you're going to work with immunotherapy energetic style, you really want your computer there. It will help you. So here is my very simple version of what the immune system does with infection. And what this really is the least that you need to know to cure the common cold. It's the white blood cells that do most of the work when it comes to infection. And there are a few different kinds. First, the leukocytes seek out and destroy. They're produced and stored in the thymus, the spleen, the bone marrow, and the lymph nodes. They circulate through the lymphatic system and the blood vessels, and there are two types. First, the phagocytes, which chew up invading organisms, and second, the neutrophils, which fight bacteria mostly and multiply into very large numbers in order to fight the bacteria. I mean, the intelligence of this is just mind-boggling. Then we have the lymphocytes. These allow the body to remember and recognize previous invaders. There are a number of kinds of lymphocytes. First, the B lymphocytes. They seek out targets and send defenses to lock onto the targets, and they produce antibodies. Then the antibodies. They lock onto antigens, neutralize toxins, and activate complement. Then the complement. Groups of proteins that assist in killing microbes and infected cells. And finally, the T lymphocytes, they're the ones that we know most about. They destroy the invaders that the B lymphocytes have discovered and locked onto. They also destroy antigens, which are toxins or other foreign substances that induce an immune response in the body, especially the production of antibodies. And if you're thinking, this is getting too complex, I'm never going to remember. How many of you are thinking that? Right. Okay. You don't have to remember any of it. I wrote the protocol so that you don't have to remember any of it. It's all built in. So you can relax and you don't have to see what's next door. What's important here is that it's best to use this protocol as early in the disease process as possible because it will work better when there are fewer disease-causing microbes for it to destroy. So, for instance, I cleared myself this morning, which was when I was sure that something was cooking. I didn't wait till after I talked to you all this morning. I did it immediately. So if you're going to use this protocol, I keep my printed copy on my desk because I use it fairly often. But if you're going to use it, the first sign is when you want to use it. It will still work if you do it later, but you'll get rid of it much faster if you do it quickly. So the protocol works by discovering which parts of the immune system need to work more effectively in order to remove the infection. It strengthens those parts so that they can work more effectively. And often this means increasing the number of certain types of cells, usually white blood cells, but sometimes others as well. So let me remind you about three-step transformation again, because that's going to be the major thing we use to help ourselves in the protocol. First, we treat the causes, which we call originating traumas. And we're looking for the primary cause of the issue at hand when we do that. In my case, it was probably stress pre-performance. That's what I would guess. This is true. Muscle testing agrees. Then the effects are treated next. The initiating traumas, usually the issue at hand, which is to say the infection, we're treating in the present. And in my case, you can hear what mine would be, right? There is a frog. And then after we treated the frog, we would treat the cause-effect connection, which would be a phrase that states that the originating trauma caused the initiating trauma. For example, because my father beat me when I stole chocolate, I'm allergic to chocolate now. And there's always a logic to that cause and effect relationship, and you can see it in the chocolate phrase very easily. Yes? Okay. The question was, what if the person doesn't know the originating trauma? Well, we muscle test to find out what it is, because it's the simplest, least invasive way. And needless to say, if it's a brand new client and you've never worked with them before and you haven't assessed their degree of fragility, you're not going to do this from the beginning, because there's a certain level of invasiveness to asking questions when a good rapport hasn't even been developed, when the client doesn't have a sense of you are a trustworthy human being and they can feel that. So just a little note on the side. We also need to know about the center, which, as I've already said, is the spiritual aspect of the human being. It's that spark of divine consciousness that rules the unconscious, and that as people develop spiritually, the ego surrenders to more and more. In various traditions, it's called the self, the higher self, the Atman, the soul, or the spirit. Okay. We muscle test in our new protocol. We muscle test to discover which parts of the immune system and things associated with the immune system require help to overcome the infection, because this is another area where our client can't tell us the answers. I mean, if we knew all of those things, that would be wonderful, but we generally don't. So we need muscle testing. The basis of AIT's energetic infection treatment is connecting immune insufficiencies to psychological and spiritual issues, and at times to environmental and physical issues as well. Just as you saw me saying, I have stress on two counts, and I had it on the plane where we had an unfortunate environmental factor as well, and therefore froggies in my throat. So that's the information that I wanted to give you before I showed you the protocol. Do you have any questions about the information level that you want to ask me before we do a demonstration? Yes.
This might sound like a strange question, but I'm wondering whether this could be used for spiritual pathogens, so to speak, so entities, etc.
That's a very good question. The question was if this method could be used for spiritual entities or pathogens. The answer is I've never tried to use this particular protocol, but we have a wonderful seminar in AIT called Healing the Wounded Spirit. And in that seminar, we take care of all of this kind of thing. I think it's more to the point to do it that way, since it was designed for that purpose. Yeah. You're welcome. Yes? You're going to have to speak a little louder.
I'm sorry, I have a question about the muscle testing, because I've had some people who tried it, and it just doesn't click, and they try to use muscle testing, and so I thought maybe they should
Do you mean that when muscle testing is used and a result comes up, they don't connect with the result from the muscle testing?
Or they mess with the results and don't really get a test.
If they mess with the results, they're just not muscle testing well. You know, I like to be careful about who muscle tests me. I like to be relatively certain that they know what they're doing. And muscle testing is something that's more an art than anything else. And the major limitation with muscle testing, as far as I can tell after doing it for 25 years now, is that people forget to put their egos in their back pocket when they muscle test others. They have an idea of the outcome that they want to see, and they forget that their idea can mess up the muscle testing. Okay, so I am looking for a volunteer who will, hold on just a sec, who will help me demonstrate the protocol so you can see that it's quite simple, and maybe even a little elegant. And I want a few people to raise their hands. We have one very eager person. Oh, wow. But let me tell you what the requirements are before we jump into muscle testing precisely. There are two kinds of people who could volunteer. Either of them would work just fine. One is a person with a mild infection, someone like me. And the other is a person who would like to check if their immune system is working well right now so that it could be strengthened if there are any weak points in it. And we're talking about the immune system that deals with infection, not autoimmune disease, not cancer, et cetera, et cetera. So, do you guys care which it is, which kind of demo we give you, whether it's as protection or prevention or as infection? I don't think we'll have time for both. It's exactly the same for both. Okay, so I'm hearing both, so I'm going to throw it up and we'll see what the muscle testing gives us. So, let me prepare me for muscle testing so you, especially you back there, you can see it done in a way that I think is honest. Hold on just a sec. Okay. I care what the outcome of the muscle testing is in the sense that I care that a certain person get chosen. And I know I don't because I just don't. Okay, so that was a clean test. I checked myself for neurological disorganization. And this thing is the dehydration test because your electromagnetic system doesn't work properly without water. And so I was clear. And then I just checked to see if my ego was all invested in it, and it's not. And I could feel that it wasn't also. I'll take that question now. It's going to have to be a little louder.
I get muscle tested and it isn't accurate. So how do we know if the muscle testing is accurate and it gets me to get out? A lot of times practitioners will do muscle testing and tell me I can take a certain, supplement and then my body rejects.
There's another set of issues with muscle testing, and it's very important to deal with them with a client at the outset of a therapy, and that is that your muscle testing can go wonky if there is toxicity in your body to a certain level. So when I first started learning about muscle testing, I had a lot of mercury in my system. And talk about wonky. I could test yes on something and 2 minutes later test no on it. I went and got chelated, removed all the mercury from my body, and now my muscle testing has been solid for a good 20 years. And there are other kinds of things that can do that. One of them is serious multiple allergies. So if you've got a lot of allergies, whether they're diagnosed or not, of yourself. In other words, if I'm your practitioner and you have undiagnosed allergies or undiagnosed heavy metal toxicity or chemical toxicity, the muscle testing is likely not to work accurately. And if you're having that problem, it's important to get those checked. Yes? Spiritual practice is one direction you can take. And the other stuff is to work directly on your ego, which probably wants to do a lot of controlling. I mean, whose ego hasn't gone through its control thing? Okay? If your ego doesn't want to let go control of the conscious life, it's going to be a problem. So that's what you work on. You know, you go back, how controlling was your dad? How controlling was your mom? How traumatic was their over-controlling or under-controlling? What did that do to you? These are all the kinds of traumas you would want to treat. And you do get to a point in treating through all of the stuff in ego where the ego just sort of says, I don't need this anymore. And you see, there are people nodding because you've already been there. I don't need this anymore. And when that comes, the person really starts to transform in an amazing way. It's something you don't want to miss in life if you've missed it so far. Really, truly. Okay. So, we know I'm clear to muscle test. So, I'd like hands up, but let me say the first phrase of how I muscle test first so you don't have to get tired arms. So for the highest purposes in healing and in learning, the person best suited to help me demonstrate this protocol is, hands up. We don't have to go any further, Miranda. You ready for this? I have to admit that I have known Miranda Blatchford for at least 15 years. Miranda is a supervising social worker on the Navajo Reservation. She's one of the people responsible for AIT's humanitarian aid program on the res. And a totally beautiful human. Okay, let me get a copy of the protocol so that I don't do it out of order. And just to be sure, my ego wanted it to be Miranda. No.
There are no accidents.
No, never. Okay, so you're on page one. And we begin by muscle testing. Hand overhead and push up. And turn your hand. And pull a little hair. Very good. Okay. So we don't have to correct anything in terms of qualifying Miranda for work. So Miranda, do you have some kind of small infection we can work with today, or do you want your immune system strengthened?
Immune system strengthened.
Okay. Can you hear Miranda when she's speaking? Okay. So.
Immune system strengthened.
Whoops. It's somewhere here. I'm just going to move this back and forth between us. So, let's use the phrase, if it muscle tests as accurate, my weak immune system. I'm not assuming it's weak, but we need a phrase. Okay. My weak immune system is the phrase we need to use for me.
Weak immune system is the phrase we need to use for me.
That's very strong. Okay. So, we're going to muscle test again. My body, psyche, and spirit.
My body, psyche, and spirit.
Are already willing and able.
Are already willing and able.
To strengthen and mobilize my immune system.
To strengthen and mobilize my immune system.
So that it can heal, so that it can strengthen my immune system.
So that it can heal and it can strengthen my immune system.
Beautiful. Now, the first stage of doing this is to check if there are any reversals to strengthening the immune system. Because sometimes we have reversals to almost anything. So we're going to run through a long list of reversals. My body is incapable of healing itself.
My body is incapable of healing itself.
Thank God. My immune system is incapable of helping heal my immune system.
My immune system is incapable?
My immune system is incapable of being strengthened.
Okay.
No. AIT can't help heal my immune system.
AIT can't help heal my immune system.
AIT can't help strengthen my immune system because no psychological or spiritual issues are involved in my needing, in its needing to be strengthened. You can say this is true.
This is true.
It can't heal my immune system because I don't know about the psychological or spiritual issues involved. My center is incapable of helping heal, of helping strengthen my immune system.
This is true.
My immune system is too weak to kill any microbes that are causing infection.
This is true.
I can only get well if someone else or something else other than me does it for me. Oh, you knew. I saw it.
Yeah.
Well, I know a little bit about your life on the res, and I would say you'd like to be taken care of, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it has to be. Okay. So we know that E is something we'll have to attend to. I'm sorry, F. Let's check the rest, though. I'm too sick to be healed completely.
This is true.
I'm too messed up to heal myself.
This is true.
Oh, okay. Okay, so we have F and H. It's impossible for anyone to heal themselves.
This is true.
There are more reversals in the way of my strengthening my immune system than we've done. Okay. And if that had been strong, we would have gone fishing to find more. And I would have said to Miranda, you know a lot of your stuff. What else is in play here? Okay. So what we've done so far is we found out that F and H are going to need treatment later. Right now, what we're doing is collecting everything that needs treatment. Now, you have the choice of treating each thing the minute you find it. Obviously, you could do it that way. Doesn't matter which way you do it. So, now let's find general immune system diagnosis material. Here, we're going to try and find out some of the spiritual and psychological connections to what's going on. my body has enough red blood cells to bring oxygen and nutrition to the area, to any areas affected by my need to strengthen my immune system. I want to retest that because I didn't say it very well. Okay. My body has enough red blood cells to bring oxygen and nutrition to any weak places in it.
This is true.
Yeah. My red blood cells are easily bringing oxygen and nutrition to the areas of my body that need attention. My body has enough white blood cells for my immune system to be strong enough to heal it.
This is true.
Strong. My body has enough platelets to be strong.
This is true.
My immune system easily recognizes any microbes that might be invading my body as something it must destroy. My leukocytes have already located the invading microbes.
This is true.
And it can't be true because we have no evidence that there are any, right? We're just checking to strengthen her. My leukocytes have already located the invading microbes. My leukocytes are easily engulfing and killing any invading microbes. And that would be because nobody's attacking you right now. My red blood cells, kidneys, and colon are removing the toxic leftovers from any microbes that have already been killed. Now that's interesting because there may have been some infection going on, but your system took care of it. My killer cells are easily recognizing the difference between my body's own tissues and invading microbes.
This is true.
My killer cells are easily attacking and killing microbes and not my body's own tissues. Because if they were killing her body's own tissues, we would be having an autoimmune response in your body. My killer cells are not attacking my own tissues in any part of my body. My phagocytes are easily chewing up all the invading organisms. My lymphocytes are remembering these microbes as previous invaders since they are.
This is true.
Ah, so M. Okay. The reason my body isn't remembering those microbes as previous invaders is because nobody's invading right now.
This is true.
So we don't even have to treat anything there. My antibodies are easily locking onto antigens, neutralizing toxins, and activating complement.
This is true.
Ah, there's the issue. And my T lymphocytes are destroying invaders and antigens.
This is true.
Okay.
So let's see.
Let's find out why N is going on. See, the infective process in the human body is one in which some invader comes and invades and settles in some part of the body, or if you're really unlucky, becomes a systemic infection. And usually the white blood cells come and some of them engulf these microbes, others eat them, and N looks to me like what happens after that, which is to say there has been an infective process, and what's left are some antigens that need to be removed, some toxins that need to be neutralized, and complement, which is a protein that helps in the healing process, or a group of proteins that help in the healing process. So it sounds to me, Miranda, like you had a bug, and it's mostly gone.
Okay.
Is that possible?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Possible. Yeah.
Okay. Let's muscle test and see, because if it's not, it's not. I did have a bug, but I'm over it now.
That's true.
And that's very strong. Okay. So I think we can assume that.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens at the end of an infection is that what you have is the antibodies sort of scarfing up everything that's left. And that's where you are.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then in step 6, I need to discover and treat subtler immune system issues or parts to strengthen my immune system.
That's true.
No. Okay. And for the most part, I haven't had to use step 6, just so you know. Now, all we need to do is to treat what came up, which is to say we need to treat N in the general immune system diagnosis section. And before that, we have a couple of reversals to treat, which was F and H. And as you're going to see, we don't treat reversals like this unless it's something very tiny. And this is very useful if you're trying to get a big trauma cleared and you want to get the reversals out of the way. What we're doing is looking at reversals differently. We're saying reversals are part of the problem, and so we want to treat them extensively because they're trauma-based. Okay? So let's first treat. I can only get well if someone else and or something else other than me does it for me. So look back at your life as if you haven't done it a million times by now. And see why someone else has to do it for you.
Okay, I think this goes all the way back to just who I am. So I'm Navajo, and a lot of times when we get sick or when something happens to us, we run to our local healer. So it's always felt like it was not within me. And I know Asha and I have talked about this. She keeps saying, it's there, but you need to tap into it. And I just keep on going like, yeah, but I'm not ready. I'm not ready. I'm not ready. I don't know if I'll ever be ready, but that's okay. So I think it's that part of it where I need to go see a medicine person or I need to go see a healer in order to get better.
And I can tell you that the healing people on the res are incredible. When I was there regularly once or twice a year, every time Miranda and other people would take me to different healers, and wow. So, yeah. Okay, so I want to ask your system, this business of my only getting well if someone else and or something else other than me does it for me, is something that requires treatment. And it does. I was sort of expecting the opposite, but who knows? Okay. So what I keep getting is knowing how hard you work,
mm-hmm.
and knowing the dedication with which you work.
Mm-hmm.
I need someone else to heal me instead of healing myself because I'm really tired of being the healer all the time. Yeah. And I took care of my family as a child in the same way. So there's our originating trauma. And I'm going to state it as a traumatic pattern. In AIT, when we treat a pattern, we get a lot of mileage because we're treating a great deal at once. And so we start each pattern phrase with all the times and ways. Okay. So all the times and ways I've taken care of everyone all my life. Do you want to add something to that phrase? You look like you might.
I kind of do, but I'm not sure what it is because the phrasing sounds good and then it feels unfinished. So all the ways and times.
That I've taken care of everyone all my life.
And have neglected myself.
Ah. You're speaking to the converted. Okay. That's the right phrase. Yeah. Okay. So sit with this traumatic pattern and look at all the times and ways that you've done this for a whole lifetime.
It goes into past lifetimes too.
Okay.
If it goes into the past lifetimes, then we're going to say all the times and ways and lives. We add two more words. That way everything is taken into account. Okay. And let yourself feel the emotions and any physical sensations that you feel about this tremendous pattern in your life now. Okay. And see on a scale of 0 to 10 where this is now.
It's about a 10.
It's a 10.
There are reversals. Okay. We work with the chakras, not the acupressure points, although we do work with one acupressure point. Where does your stationary hand want to go? Okay. We always have one hand on the chakra that is most highly affected by the trauma we're treating. That way it gets treatment all the way down the chakras. And the other hand does the moving from one chakra to the next. And that's what you're going to see now.
So stationary in place. Okay. And second hand starts on the crown. All the times and ways and lives.
All the times and ways and lives.
I forgot the phrase. That I've taken care of everyone in my life and neglected myself.
Thank you.
Okay, next one. All the times and ways that I've taken care of everyone and neglected myself. Is it here? Yeah. All the ways and times I've neglected.
And lives.
Oh, all the ways and all the times and ways in life and lives that I've taken care of others but not myself. All the times and ways and lives that I've taken care of others but not myself. Then it's here.
Heart first.
Yeah, heart, okay. All the ways and times of in my lives that I've taken care of others but not myself. Okay. All the ways and times in my lives that I've taken care of others but not myself. All the times and ways and in my lives that I've taken care of others but not myself. All the times and ways and in my lives that I've taken care of others but not myself. All the times and ways in my lives that I've taken care of others but not myself. All the times and ways in lives I've taken care of others but not myself. All the ways and times in my lives that I've taken care of others but not myself. All the times and ways in my lives that I've taken care of others but not myself. All the times and ways in my lives that I've taken care of others but not myself.
And a deep breath. So come back to this multi-life pattern. Let yourself remember it.
Barely there. It's kind of fading.
Okay, check that the feelings are fading too.
Yeah, it's kind of just going away like, you know, how you move away from something is kind of feeling like that right now.
0 to 10, where would you put it? Oh, man.
It's about a 0.
It's a 0? What can we say instead of hallelujah?
Yeah.
Okay. So, that's the originating trauma. Now, the present trauma. Choose one.
Choose one. They're, oh God.
And of course, we would treat all of them if we were sitting in my office or Miranda's.
Yeah. I'll see if I can wrap it up in a nice little bow. I work on a reservation where there are very few licensed clinical people. So I'm one of like 3 or 4 right now. And we cover New Mexico, Arizona, and Utah. And so it's a big reservation, about the size of Rhode Island, somewhere in there. So I cover the Arizona portion. So I cover Fort Defiance, Newlands, Dilcon, Tuba City, and Kayenta. So that's, and that's like, my furthest is like a 3-hour drive. So I try to get out there as much as possible. And so right now I'm training, or I'm licensing people. So I've got like about 5 people that I'm licensing. And I do have a clinical supervisor that I'm working with. He's licensed, and he's working with those at a certain site. So on top of all of this, we have what we call the mental health expansion. So we are a substance abuse program, but we're growing. So we've decided to take over and do the self-determination thing and take over the IHS mental health programs. So we're bringing them in. So now, on top of licensing, taking care of clients, and actually I do have a client load, so I do have like about 4 now. About 4 clients that I'm working with. And on top of that, I've got the mental health expansion, and then there's another thing that's coming down the pipeline, which is called the Medicaid. What we're trying to do is become our own Medicaid agency. So, yeah. Oh, no, that's just work life. I haven't even talked about my family life, which is like a whole different thing. So, yeah, I got a lot of things happening. So just all of that has come to, I'm thinking ahead so that they're all wrapped up together right now. And I know that's what's really affecting my immune system right now, is I'm tired. I know I'm exhausted. I know I'm burnt out, you know, and I just do a lot of AIT. I do a lot of tapping. You know, when I'm driving from one place to another, I'm working on myself throughout that whole time just to stay up. And I know I have people who say, God, I don't know how you do this. How are you doing this? And I say, you know what? I'm just grateful I know energy psychology. Otherwise, I wouldn't be able to do this. I'm coming back.
You have to.
Yeah. Okay. So the initiating trauma is all my overwork, over-responsibility, and burnout, because you've got all 3.
It feels like I blew out my chakras.
It actually feels like I blew out my chakras.
We'll talk. Okay, so let's treat that.
Okay.
All my overwork, over-responsibility, and burnout.
All my overwork, over-responsibility, burnout.
Okay. Yeah.
That feel right? Yeah. Okay, so C0 to 10.
0 to 10.
10.
There are reversals.
There are reversals. Okay.
So, stationary hand placement. Okay. And of course, she's pointing to the solar plexus. The solar plexus governs everything she's talking about, so she's got it right on. All my overwork, over-responsibility.
Over-responsibility and burnout.
There you go.
All my overwork, over-responsibility, and burnout. 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 And all my overwork, over-responsibility, and burnout.
Deep breath. Come back to it again. Excuse me.
It's still there, but I think it's always going to be there. You know?
0 to 10?
0 to 10. About a 3.
Yeah. Let's have another round, my dear.
Okay. So all my overwork, over-responsibility, and burnout. All my overwork, over-responsibility, and burnout. All my overwork, over-responsibility, and burnout. Okay, it's gone. Sorry.
You're going to stop in the middle, huh?
Yeah. It's a 0. It's a 0.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Now we're going to do the connecting trauma. Yes. We use the chin. Let me show you what we use. Thank you. The question was, is she using different chakras every time? And you noted that she was using what is definitely an acupressure point rather than a chakra. The system we use is one where we use mostly the chakras simply because acupressure points tend to hold what's going on right now. And so compared to the chakras, which tend to hold both the positive and the traumatic past of your entire life, we have found that we get faster and stronger effect if we work primarily with chakras. So we use the crown, the forehead. Then we sneak in an acupressure point because this is the shame point and it's too important not to have. The throat chakra, the heart chakra. Then there's the left heart chakra, which is where the arrows go in. The right heart chakras tend to govern how we respond to those traumatic arrows. The solar plexus, the navel. In most systems, you have either the solar plexus or the navel, and this is different cultures' chakra systems. What we found is that it's more powerful to use both, so why not? Then the pelvis, and then we have the left crease and the right crease, which are substitute root chakras, and we use them a lot with children where you can't ask a child to put two fingers between the anus and the genitals. Because in most cultures, it is shameful to touch there. So we have two extra root chakras and then the root. And most adults use all three because, again, what's more powerful than the root? Because the root is mother. So I didn't see that Miranda was moving around to different chakras. I think that our system just wasn't known to you. Yeah. Okay. So now we're going to combine those two phrases in order to try and break the pattern that Miranda has established in her life. And given what the pattern is, I would be treating a lot of other chakras to make that even stronger. Because I don't remember how many years we've known each other, a lot. And she was always overworked. And each time I saw her and came to the res, or I met her at an ASAP meeting, she was just that much more overextended. What amazes me is that your health is as good as it is.
Me too.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, yes.
I have a question for clarity about the points.
Sure.
How does the client know which point to start out with?
The question is, how does the client know which point or which energy center to start out with? When we take things away, like the after effects of trauma, we always start with the crown and move down. And what you experience if you're embodied enough is you can feel the energy moving out the soles of your feet generally. Okay? Then we have the stationary hand, and that's what you want to know. The stationary hand is placed by the choice of the client wherever they feel there's the most energy about the trauma. Some clients, needless to say, don't feel that because there's some bodily dissociation. And we expect that. In that case, the therapist may know intuitively where that hand should go. It may be obvious because of the nature of the issue. For instance, with Miranda's issue, there's no question it would have to be the solar plexus because of what the solar plexus governs. Power, anger, that kind of thing, control. And Miranda's in a situation where the whole of the Navajo Nation is beginning to take itself over. Mm-hmm. And I am so happy because I've seen what other people controlling it has done. Mm-hmm. 200,000 Navajo people suffering under that. And that's just now. Okay. You mean people with diseases? Okay. So the question was, wouldn't it be useful to use this protocol with people, say, who had cancer in order to strengthen their immune system? Two answers to your question. The first one is, if they're on chemotherapy, which is designed to kill the immune system temporarily, there would be a problem between the drug and what you were doing. Second answer. If there is no issue like chemotherapy involved, we have much better protocols that are designed for cancer. This is just sort of the easy one so that you guys could find out that we were doing immunotherapy and energy psychology.
I'm just
Yes, you're absolutely right, but we have better ways to do it that are specially suited to cancer, to autoimmune diseases, to heart disease, and so on. Yeah. Thank you. Okay, let's finish this up, Miranda.
Okay.
So, because I'm suffering from, because my whole life, no, because all my lives have been an issue of overwork, over-responsibility, and burnout, I am having those now because I have too much responsibility and work now. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So. Thank you. what Michelle is reminding me is that we have to have in that connecting phrase,
the neglecting piece.
Yes. Because of all those lives of taking care of others and not taking care of yourself, not taking care of myself, you're doing the same thing now. And that is weakening your immune system. Except I can't really say that because her immune system seems to be in good shape. So we're just going to have to leave that part out, even though that's what the protocol was made for. There is no perfection. Okay, so let's get the phrase straight. Because of many lives of taking care of others and neglecting myself, I'm doing it again now.
How about I'm just something real simple, like I'm doing it again.
Perfect. That's the truth.
Yeah.
Okay. So 0 to 10, how strong is this cause, this many life cause of living in this way? How strong is the connection between that and the fact that you're doing it again?
It's a 10.
There are reversals. Stationary hand.
Interesting.
Okay.
I'm doing it again. No, we need the whole thing.
Okay. Because of all those lives.
Okay, because of all the lives and times and ways
of taking care of others
and neglecting myself, I'm doing it again. Because of all the times and ways and other lives, I'm doing it again. Right?
Of taking care of others and myself,
I'm doing it again. Okay. Because of all the ways, times, and other lives of taking care of others, I'm doing it again. And neglecting myself, I'm doing it again. Yeah, really struggling with this one. Maybe it's just me not wanting to work on it. Okay, so
yes.
Yeah. Okay, so because of all the times and ways
and lives
where I took care of others and not myself, I'm doing it again. Okay, because of all the times and ways and my other lives, I guess, of taking care of others but not myself, I'm doing it again. Because of all the ways and times and in my other lives, of taking care of others but not myself, I'm doing it again. Because of all the times and ways and in my other lives of taking care of others and not myself, I'm doing it again. Because of all the times and ways and other lives that I've taken care of others but not myself, I'm doing it again. Because of all the times and ways and in my other lives of taking care of others and neglecting myself, I'm doing it again. Because of all the times and ways of taking care of others and neglecting myself, I'm doing it again. Because of all the times and ways of taking care of others but not myself, I'm doing it again. Because of all the ways and times and lives of taking care of others and not myself, I'm doing it again. Because of all the times and ways and lives of taking care of others and neglecting myself, I'm doing it again.
Wow, that was difficult.
That was difficult, yeah. He just really struggled with it.
So, see 0 to 10 where we are with it.
It's about a 0?
Great.
Yeah. Awesome. Yes.
So, we didn't have any, oh, can someone give me a time check, please? Thank you. So, We didn't have an opportunity, because of the way Miranda's testing went, to talk about the kinds of issues that often come up when you're dealing with the immune system. So I want to take a couple of minutes to do that. Thank you, my dear.
Okay. Thank you.
As I started to say earlier in the presentation, the immune system is the system of protection for the human body. And so if you think about protection in a very broad psychological sense, what you're looking at, again, are a series of metaphors about what happens in the psyche. So I just have my sheet open, and what's on top of the third page is my red blood cells, kidneys, and colon are removing the toxic leftovers from my client's phrase. So if Miranda had tested differently, and let's say she tested for the idea that we needed to clear that because it was weak, think about, psychologically speaking, what it is to remove toxic leftovers. What are the toxic leftovers of the psyche, in other words? Negative self-beliefs. Those are definitely a big toxic leftover, right? So that would take us to the point of looking at, well, okay, what negative beliefs are there that are not helpful? And if I go back to Miranda's case, one of the things that comes up is, I am not as important as the people I'm helping, as a possibility, okay? And I've known her long enough to know that that's a likely one. And also, how common is that among therapists in general, not just on the res, okay? So that would take me immediately, after I cleared the phrase, to the question of self-importance. Not in the egotistic sense, but in the sense that if you want to help other people, it is your responsibility to strengthen yourself first, to give to yourself what you really need. So, for example, in my case, if I didn't give myself time to meditate, I'd be a basket case with what I do. There'd just be no way. If I meditate... Excuse me. If I meditate, the whole world turns light and I can get everything done that I need to get done. So the other thing, if we look at that number H, is there might be issues of rejection or letting go. Because in terms of removing toxic leftovers, all of that is a possibility. So let's say it was issues of rejection. I would have to look with her at, okay, what is my rejection history in this life, or in Miranda's case, even in past lives? And we might go and treat all of that and then connect it up with the idea of all the times and ways I've been rejected, or all the times and ways and lives that I've been rejected. And... how am I rejecting myself in the present by putting myself last on every list? And then to connect those, because in past lives or in my childhood, I experienced traumatic rejection. I'm rejecting myself by putting myself last in the present. Okay, is that clear? What we found is that if you treat these psychological issues that are connected to various parts of the immune system simply because the immune system sort of acts as a metaphor for expressing them, the immune system strengthens. There was one case, and this was a long time ago. This was at the end of the AIDS epidemic, if you can consider it as ever having ended, that is. And I had a client, a woman who had AIDS, and She came to my office that time straight from the doctor, and her white blood count was 20. In other words, she could have died that day. I did what was an early version of this protocol with her, put her to bed in my office. I was afraid to let her go, and sort of took care of her for a day or two. Then took her to my doctor. She was from out of town. I don't normally do that kind of thing, but she really needed someone to take care of her, and why not? And after the doctor had tested her and so on, her white blood count was 400. And that's from one treatment with this protocol. And she's still alive. Yeah. And of course, she got that cocktail that a lot of people got who had AIDS, and refinements of it as time went on. But she told me, I hear from her every so often, she told me that every time her white blood count goes down, she has a copy of this, and that's what she does. So it can be a lifesaver sometimes. Okay. Do you have any questions or comments about what we've done today? Yes. It's a good question. The question was, when we make up a phrase that the person can use for muscle testing, why is it my sinus infection instead of the sinus infection? Because, as the asker said, my sinus infection makes you sort of identify with it in a way. The answer is that some people prefer my and some people prefer the. And it tells you a lot about them from their choice. But a lot of people just object, as you did. And I say, great, use the. In a way, it's a way of getting more information about them. So that's why I keep it in. When I test myself, it's the. It can. Sorry. The question was, what if you have an overactive immune system rather than an underactive immune system? This protocol was designed for an underactive one. For an overactive one, we have another protocol. There are four or five immunotherapy protocols in AIT. When I tried to write these things down initially, I tried to make one. It's too complicated and confusing. So, yes, we have that if you need it. Yes. Yes. Thank you for pointing that out. The person is pointing out, would I go over steps 9 and 10 of the protocol? So for step 9, we have a protocol called the core belief protocol. And what I found when I started treating core beliefs, or as you probably know them, as cognitions, energetically, what I discovered was if I treated a cognition energetically, like I'll never get healed, for example, / I will get healed. We found that sometimes they held permanently and sometimes they didn't. And I started asking myself the question of why did it work really well sometimes and only temporarily other times? What I realized in looking at the matter is that there's never really only one cognition that is in the way of health at a time. Usually there are a group of interlaced cognitions that all together create difficulty. For example, I can never be healed. I'm not valuable enough to be healed. I'm too sick to be healed. I don't want to be healed. I'd rather die than be healed, and on and on and on. And I realized that these cognitions were like a piece of weaving, that you had the woof and the warp. And I thought to myself, well, what if I wrote out the woof and the warp for an issue, for example, abandonment? What would happen if with a client who had a really strong abandonment issue, if we treated the trauma, because trauma in AIT is always treated first, if we treated the trauma and these beliefs were left, what if we treated all of them that muscle tested as being in need of treatment instead of just the one we came up with? I tested it on 50 or 60 clients. That works and it's permanent. So step nine is create and treat a core belief matrix. That woof and warp is in fact called a matrix in AIT. So we treat it. And then number 10, core qualities are a list of human qualities that tend to get destroyed in a human being by trauma. For example, think of all the highly traumatized people you know or have treated. How many of them have love flowing like the beautiful fountain that it is? Okay? So in a person who lost that, because we come in with it, you want to treat love. And we have a lovely protocol called the Core Quality Protocol that does that. Okay? Now I'm being told that time's almost up. So if there's one or two last questions. Yes. Okay, good question. What she's asking is in the general immune system diagnosis, there are certain phrases or words like insight, denial, consciousness, idealization. And I believe you're asking what is their connection to what's going on in the protocol. The connection is that, for example, let's take number 5F for an example. My leukocytes have already located the invading microbes. So if that part is not working well, if the leukocytes are not locating the invading microbes in an infection, then we think first of all about assertion on the psychological level. Is this person assertive enough so that its leukocytes are going to be assertive on the physical level? Is this person insightful enough so that on a physical level, the leukocytes will see that they need to attack the microbes? Are the leukocytes in the right place? On a psychological level, are you looking where you need to look? And in terms of discovery, the same kind of thing. If the leukocytes are not locating the invading microbes, they need to find them. How is the client on a psychological level not locating what he or she needs in order to be well, or just in general? So what I'm doing is looking at the psychological issues that are likely to be at play when various parts of the immune system are not functioning as they need to. Was that clear? Okay. One more in the back.
If you have people who do not know what leukocytes are, or kids who don't understand these things, how do you deal with that?
The question. Very good question. If you have people or children, for example, who've never even heard of a leukocyte, how do you deal with that? All I can tell you is that it was discovered around 20 years ago that there is such a thing in the human brain as mirror neurons. Mirror neurons are special brain neurons which connect people and minds to each other. I have tested babies who can't even speak, let alone know what a leukocyte is, with this protocol, and the testing held because I know what a leukocyte is. It may sound really weird or too woo-woo to you that this works, but it's based on actual neuroscience, which is to say how mirror neurons function in the human body. So as long as you, as the clinician, know what that is, the child's hand will muscle test correctly. To me, I don't think it's woo-woo because I've been reading the neuroscience as it's been developing in our generation. I think it's miraculous and wonderful that we can use it for anybody. Remember, when energy psychology first started out, there was a lot of talk about we can treat the cat and we can treat the dog, right? And this became a sort of fun thing for a lot of people who were just entering this field. Well, my cat doesn't know what a leukocyte is either, but I have cured a lot of cat infections in my time. So that's the best proof I know. A sentient being who has no knowledge of language. Except that she knows when her name is called. That she knows. Okay. So, thank you very much for coming. Oh, I have a question. Okay, we have some pamphlets for you in the back. Please take one as you go out. They will give you some idea about what else we do that you might want to do. And thank you all.